We noted that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Aleph, writes that the first mitzvah is that Tzivoy Asher Tzivonu Behemonas Alokus. Shenamen, Sheyesh Sham Ilah, V'Sibachu Po'al L'chol Nimtzoyim. This is the Pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam here says that the mitzvah of Emunah is the first mitzvah in the Torah, to be namin, to believe, ha'emanas ha'elukus, to believe in God. However, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in Sefer Mada, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the very, very beginning of Mishnah Torah, so the Rambam presents things differently. Yisodei Yisodos ve'omod ha'chochmos, Leida, sheyesh sham matzoy rishon. To know that there is a matzoy rishon, there is a first being, umamtzi kol nimtzi, created everything that exists, v'chulei v'chulei. So too in the Koteret here, the Rambam writes, Leida sheyesh sham eloka. So is the mitzvah to know or is the mitzvah to believe? There's an edition of Sefer HaMitzvos that was put out by Rabbi Chaim Heller. It was a great Rav and Gaon, came to the United States in the early 20th century, early to mid 20th century, and taught in YU for a little bit. And the Rav was very taken with him and respected him tremendously. He put out a new edition of Sefer HaMitzvos, where he retranslated from the original Arabic. And he writes there that if you look in Sefer HaMitzvos, which was written in Arabic originally, the word that's used is a word that could really also mean Leida. It's not 100% correct to translate it as to believe. It really also should be to know. And of course, if you would translate the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos as to know, then the Rambam is consistent with what he writes in Mishnah Torah. In both locations, according to Rabbi Chaim Heller, the Rambam writes Leida, to know. What I'd like to address today is what is the significance of saying that the mitzvah is to know God, to know that God exists, as opposed to believing that God exists. And I'd like to share two approaches. Approach number one is probably the more assumed pshat in the Rambam. There's a debate about what is the best form of, or I shouldn't say the form, what is the best source of having faith in God. Is it based on a blind faith? Is it based on tradition? Is it based on the fact that I was born Jewish? My parents told me that God exists. So the Torah tells me God exists, so I believe. Or is it better to have a knowledge that is based on intellectual analysis, studying, contemplating, reviewing the other possibilities, studying proofs for God? Many of us, I'm sure, are familiar. There are a lot of books that have been put out that presents all different types of proofs for God, whether it's philosophic proofs, whether it's historical proofs, different proofs for God. And then the next step would then need to be to prove the Jewish God. But at least starting with step one would be to prove that there is a God. One of the more well-known books is a book called Permission to Believe, which goes through three or four different proofs for God and lots of arguments connected to it. So there's a whole literature. What was that? A Jewish book called Permission to Believe. And there are a number of Jewish books that seek to prove, based on whether it's an argument from design, you look at how complex the world is, it clearly shows a designer, that somebody planned on this world existing, right? And there's all different types of mushals for this, all different versions of it. Like, for instance, one of the more famous ones is you have somebody who's writing a poem and he just can't get the last line. Like, he needs one last line that really captures the message and it captures the right meter of the poem, and it rhymes, obviously, and thematically it fits perfectly, and he just can't think of one. So he goes out for a walk. And when he comes back from the walk, he comes into his study and he sees that someone had written in the line, the last line, and it was perfect. It was the right meter. It rhymed perfectly. It was so thematically, it was so appropriate. It captured the whole message of the poem. and he sees sitting on the couch an older man with a beard and, you know, looks like a very sagely person. And he says to him, oh, did you, thank you so much. You got this like last line perfect. Thank you so much. And the sage says, oh, I actually didn't do it. I was sitting here waiting. I wanted to talk to you. And while I was here, you know, there was a cat who walked by and he knocked into your ink well and the ink fell on the paper. And I didn't even look. What? Oh, it, like it came out as a sentence? And obviously the response is that how can an ink be spilled and form perfect letters, not only perfect letters, but letters that perfectly rhyme and perfectly capture the theme of the poem? I mean, that's obviously absolutely impossible. Even if I told you that there were a billion years of cats knocking over ink, the ink would never fall perfectly into the formation of words that rhymed. And the idea is that you look at the world and you see how incredibly complex. And on the one hand, as much as science denies God more and more, the more that they uncover, so the harder it becomes to deny God. Because the more complex and the more intricate and the more sophisticated we realize the human world is and the human body is, I mean, it's absolutely impossible that that wasn't designed by somebody. That doesn't happen. You could take a bunch of cells and smash them together, or take lots of metal and cement and plastic and paint, put it all into a big, big bag and shake it around, shake it around, shake it around. You could do that for billions of years, and the Eiffel Tower is never going to come out. A perfectly crafted Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower obviously was designed by someone. We have no proof that, okay, the Eiffel Tower we probably can prove. But take a building that was constructed 300 years ago, 400 years ago. There's no pictures, there's no videos. We cannot prove that it was built, some castle, you know, in England. You cannot prove it was built by someone, but obviously it was built by someone. There's no chance there was a hurricane and a bunch of rocks just came together. So achas kama v'kama, there's no chance the world wasn't built by somebody. It's just too complex. There's nothing in the world that's complex that wasn't built by somebody. So there's an argument like that by design. There's arguments from the fact, if you look at Jewish history, there's lots of different arguments for the existence of God. And that's the question, that maybe when the Rambam writes Leida, he doesn't mean to tell us that you just are supposed to believe. That would be belief, have belief. And it doesn't really matter how you get to belief. You know, there could be one guy who's very fine with the fact that his parents told him that God exists, so he's fine with that. He doesn't need to spend any more time. He's not bothered by any questions. And somebody else is bothered by questions, therefore he has to do research and analyze and prove God's existence. But at the end of the day, if the mitzvah is just to believe, so we don't care how you get there, just believe. But if the Rambam writes Leida, maybe the fact that the Rambam writes that is to tell us that no, it's not okay to just have a basic belief because someone told you. You need to go out and study and prove it. It has to be a belief that's based on knowledge, not just on faith. Maybe that's what the Rambam means when he writes Leida. You have to know it. You have to know it means intellectually. This would actually answer another question that we've had in the past, but I think we've mentioned regarding the Rambam's mitzvah of belief. There are those who ask, how is it shayach to command someone to believe? Like either he believes or he doesn't believe. So if he believes, right, if I believe that this is brown, so I already believe it. You don't have to command me anything. Whoa, slow down. You don't have to command me anything. I believe it's brown. And if I don't believe it's brown, what's commanding me going to do? But if the mitzvah is not belief, the mitzvah is to gain knowledge, so that's shayach to command. Because the only way you gain knowledge is by studying. Somebody can't wake up one morning and say, I can prove that God exists. You have to have thought about that. You have to have done some research. You have to have read a book. You have to have talked to someone. You could just believe, because belief is belief. If I want, I could just believe something. So you can't command someone to believe. You can command someone to know. You can command him to study. You can command him to try to figure it out. Now again, not everybody encouraged this. The Pasuk says by Avram Avinu that Kadosh Baruch Hu took him outside, Achutza, and he showed him all of the stars, he showed him everything, and Rashi there comments that he showed him how the whole world works. He took him outside of the world as we know it, showed him all the secrets of how the world works. And what does the pasuk say at the end? V'hemin b'Hashem. So the Talmid of the Baal Shem Tov, quote from the Baal Shem Tov, that this pasuk captures a major theme in Chassidus. And that is that after all the proofs, after all of the things that would give Avram knowledge, what does the Torah say? V'hemin. He believed. And they use this to argue that the ultimate level is not Yediyah. The ultimate level is to have pure faith, not based on knowledge, not based on analysis. Even Avram, after he was shown everything and he had all the proofs, he still relied on his pure faith, his emunah. And their argument is that we're never going to really understand everything. And therefore, the higher level is just to believe. For people who can't handle that, they need to try to prove things to themselves. Okay, that's a dangerous path to go down if you need it. If you're sick, so you need to take medicine. Medicine's not good. You're sticking chemicals in your body. But if you need it, you need it. But the higher level is to just have a pure faith that's not based on the intellect. This is a very famous age-old debate in Jewish thought. What is the higher and actually more ideal form of a relationship with God's existence? Is it better to just have a pure blind faith? That is absolutely, there's a famous statement from a Spanish writer who comments on the Jews who during the Spanish Inquisition, as we know, unlike in Ashkenaz where a lot of people gave their lives when the Crusaders came, in Spain, many of the Jews became Marranos, which is a little bit of a derogatory term, but that's the term we use. They became Marranos, which means that they outwardly accepted Christianity, which is a avodah zarah. It doesn't help that in your head, you don't really mean it. If you go through a baptism and you accept Yeshu, God forbid, as your Messiah, so then that's avodah zarah. That's an act of avodah zarah. How come it was that in Ashkenaz, so many Jews gave their lives? And in Spain, in Sfarad, so many of them converted to Christianity. Okay, you're right. Secretly, they still tried to be Jewish. So this Spanish writer writes that he saw with his own eyes that the women and children and the less sophisticated Jews who had a pure blind faith in Spain, they gave their lives. The ones who their relationship with Hashem was based on just a pure belief, so then they gave their lives. It was Dafka, the ones who were a little bit more intellectual, they were the ones who tried to like cheshbin and figure out a way to maybe like get out of things. And they were the ones who ultimately, when the ultimate test was provided to them, they didn't give their lives. So this is one way to interpret the word leida, to know intellectually. However, I'd like to share a different approach, which I have come to believe is the more correct approach. Traditionally, if you ask someone, what does the Rambam, I think, if you ask most people, what does the Rambam mean when he says leida, as opposed to lahamin, they would tell you that the Rambam, kedarko shel Rambam, who in many areas has a very rational bent in his approach to Yadus. So the Rambam is arguing for a knowledge of God, not just a belief in God. However, I think there's another pshat, which I think is a very good chance it's the correct pshat. And it really has nothing to do with about what the source of your faith is. But it's much more about the level of your conviction. Pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom ha'shevosa el levavecha." You should know this today, and therefore internalize it in your heart. Rama might have used the word leida, because you know sometimes let's say you're having a conversation with someone, and you say, "Oh, you think the Bulls are going to win tonight?" And he says, "I don't think the Bulls are going to win tonight. I know the Bulls are going to win tonight." Right? What does he mean when he says that? What he means is, this is an absolute conviction that I know to be true. This is not something that I just happen to think. This is the absolute truth. I know this to be true. Truth is, even the word emuna has a connotation like that. A person, imun, means to be trustworthy. If you say like, you can rely, if you're saying in Hebrew, you can rely on someone, you could say that you can have imun with him. You could trust him. You can rely upon him. A emuna might really mean also at its core that you rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu because you know it to be true. And that leida, the Rambam writes the word leida to stress that this is not just something that we're supposed to study and analyze and say, like, you know what? This seems to be, if I was a betting man, I would bet on this. This seems to be right. No, this has to be something that you have a conviction that it's absolutely the truth. It's a famous medrash where that Avram saw a bira dolekes. He saw a big building and it was burning. And it was from a distance. And once he saw the building burning, he realized there must be, burning doesn't necessarily mean on fire. It could mean that he saw lights on. Unclear exactly. Could mean that he saw lights on. But when he saw lights on in the building, he realized, oh, there obviously is somebody who lives in the building, if there's lights on. And then the Medrash ends and says that the Baal HaBira came out and like waved to Avram and said, yes, I'm the Baal HaBira. I'm the owner of this building. It's an interesting Medrash, and it's talking about Avram's faith. And I think one thing that we can learn from this Medrash is that Avram saw the world, he analyzed, he started to pick up from looking at nature, he started to see God's imprint, his fingerprints on all of creation. But not, he didn't leave it there where he said, you know what, it really seems like there is a God. But his knowledge was so clear, it was as if the Baal HaBira himself came out and said, yes, I'm the Baal HaBira. Meaning once the guy comes out, if you think someone lives in a house because you see lights on, oh yeah, look, he's home, the lights are on. If I asked you, you know for sure he's home? No, not obviously not. Could be forgotten, left the lights on. But when he comes to the window and waves to you, then you know for sure. There's no doubt anymore. The Rambam's level, the Avram Avinu's level of Amuna reached the point, not only did he see the Bira Dolekes and he said, oh, there must be someone living here, but it came to the point where it was as if the Baal HaBira came out and said, I'm the Baal HaBira. I live here. I'm the owner here. Leida's not so much about how we gain the knowledge. Is it through blind faith? Is it because our parents told us? Is it because we studied? But it speaks much more, not to how we know, but to what degree do we know? I know this with absolute certainty. Now, the truth is, if we learn that this is the pshat in the Rambam, when the Rambam writes Leida, Leida means you got to know this. You have to know this to be true. This fits in actually very nicely with the general Rambam's approach to the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah. As many of us are aware, the Rambam formulated 13 principles of faith. He wrote this in the end of his Perish, Amishnayis, in Sanhedrin. In the Perek that begins, I'm not telling you what Perek it is because depending if you look in the Mishnah or the Gemara, it changes what number Perek it is. But it's the Perek that begins with Elu Hain. These are those who get Olam Haba. These are those who don't get Olam Haba. And there, the Rambam in his Perish Mishnayis, so the Rambam says, this is a really great, if we're talking about people who get Olam Haba, this is a great time to talk about principles of faith. Because if you don't believe these 13 things, even if you're Jewish, you don't go to Olam Haba. What do you mean? It says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba. So the Rambam says, yeah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba if they believe in these 13 things. The Rambam goes so far as to say that if you don't believe in one of these things, so that's it, you're out of Kol Yisrael. Meaning if I asked you, what makes a Jew? What makes a Jew? Is it because your mother was a Jew? Is it because you have some shared history with the Jewish people? The Rambam says, you're a Jew if you believe. Now again, how much does that impact halacha? Like if someone doesn't believe in one of these things, so is he not able to be counted as a minion? If he touches wine, does it become, yayin nesech? Okay, we have to be dot on all these different issues. Not for now. But the Rambam writes very clearly that in order to get, it says, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba. In order to be a Yisrael, at least regarding this Maimur Chazal, you need to believe in 13 things. And this is a big debate. Where did Ram get these things from? And also, where did Ram get this idea that there are things that you must believe? Where do you see that you must believe things? Like, let's say someone does all the mitzvot HaTorah, but he doesn't believe. So for sure, for the Rambam, that's going to be a big problem. And L'chore, that's going to be a big problem for everyone. But what if a person does all the mitzvahs? He believes in God. He believes in Schar V'Onesh. No, he doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim. He doesn't believe that all the books of the Torah are from Hashem. According to the Rambam, he's an Apikoros. He doesn't get Olam Haba. They said that Rav Chaim was asked, Rav Chanan writes about this. They asked Rav Chaim Brisker, okay, but what about the Din of Onus? Let's say if a guy, he's a really good guy, he tries to keep mitzvot Torah his whole life, he believes in God, but it's very hard for him to accept that God doesn't have a body. And he's like an Onus almost. Like, you know, that growing up as a kid, they told him stories about like the man with the beard in the sky who's looking over. You know, that's how he was taught as a kid. And he just can't get out of his head this image that Hashem has a body. He even reads the Torah. The Torah says, Yad Hashem, right? Biyad Chazaka, all these terms. So you can read the Psukim and you can even come to a faulty understanding of Hashem just from reading the Psukim if you don't have a Rebbe. He lives in the middle of nowhere. He reads the Bible. The Bible says God has a body. So then he dies and he's an Onus. So Rav Chaim apparently responded and said that a Nebuch Apikoros is still an Apikoros. He's a Nebuch, and it's a shame that he's an Apikoros, but he's still an Apikoros. So where does the Rambam get this from, that you have to believe these things? Truth is, it's even a big kasha, because if you look in the Mishnah there, what the Rambam's saying, he's saying it on the Mishnah, and the Mishnah itself seems to be against the Rambam. Or at least the Rambam seems to be a big extension of the Mishnah. Why am I saying that? Because if you look at the beginning of Perek Chelek, right, in the Gemara, it's the 11th parak in Sechah Sanhedrin. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek l'olam haba. Shneamar v'yameh kulam tzedikim l'olam yarshu aretz. Neter matai ma'aseh yodai l'spoyer. It's a little bit of a funny Mishnah, right? It just said, Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek l'olam haba. V'yelu she'en lem chelek l'olam haba. Except for the following people who don't have olam haba. So the call wasn't really a call. So who are the people? Ha'omer ein tchiyas ha'meisim min ha'torah. Ve'ein Torah min ha'shamayim. Now wait a second. Ha'omer ein Torah min ha'shamayim. So first of all, from the Mishnah, it just sounds like you can't deny it. What if you don't know? Let's say someone says, I'm really not sure. I don't know if Torah is min ha'shamayim. I've thought about it a long time. I just can't come to a conclusion. I don't deny it, but I can't say for sure that I believe it. So according to the Mishnah, L'chori is not an apikoros. He still gets olam haba. It's only ha'omer ein Torah min ha'shamayim. For the Rambam, if you don't actually believe it, you're also out. Also, for the Mishnah says you can't say it. What if you think it? You don't say it. Like it sounds like from the Mishnah, people who are out are like people go around like blasting their mouths off and saying like, writing articles, how Torah's not min ha'shamayim. Okay, what if a person harbors that inside, but he lives a regular Jewish life? He does mitzvos, he keeps Shabbos, and inside he doesn't necessarily believe that Torah's min ha'shamayim. So for the Mishnah, seemingly he's okay. For the Rambam, he's out. So you see that this idea that you need an absolute conviction is very l'shitaso in the Rambam. This is a big chiddush of the Rambam by the Yud Gimel Yikarim, and it could be that that's the pshat in Leida. Leida doesn't mean intellectual. Leida means conviction. And that is a really important yesod, I think, for Avodas Hashem. Because what the Rambam is basically telling me is that you could be a really intellectual guy and prove that God exists, but if you don't live your life in a way that reflects that you have an absolute conviction that Hashem exists, so it's really not so worth so much all of your intellectual exercises that you... You know, you have a lot of people nowadays, you have a lot of people who are very intellectual and very intellectual about their Judaism, and you know what? They could be really big believers in Judaism. And if you ask them and you analyze with them, they'll bring you great proofs and they're very sophisticated. And then when they make brachas, they don't make them with kavana. And when they keep Shabbos, they don't really connect to Shabbos. Now, we all make brachas once in a while without kavana, or a lot of times without kavana. I'm not saying that if a person doesn't make a bracha with kavana, so he's a bad guy. We all struggle with these things. But for many people, the goal is the intellectualism. And then how passionately you actually implement the Judaism is less important. And it could be that the very Rambam that they're basing their entire life philosophy on is saying exactly the opposite. The Rambam, by saying Leida, might not be saying the intellectualism is what's important. The Rambam might be saying is that it's the conviction that's important. You can have one guy who gets there through a lot of intellectual analysis and another guy who gets there just because his father told him. Right, you have a nice little Hasidish boy. His tata told him that Hashem exists and that the Torah is the best zach, and therefore he's passionate about his Judaism because he believes that it's absolute truth. And you're sitting there and you're saying like, oh, he's so unsophisticated. He's so unsophisticated. Yeah, but if he's bringing his passion to what he's doing because he believes it to be the truth, if he's the one during the Spanish Inquisition who's willing to give up his life because he knows this is the MS, he'll give up his life because he knows where he's going afterwards. And you, with all your intellectualism, so you're not sure, and you don't have that same passion. So it could very well be that the Rambam's ideal here is a person who it's leida, he knows it. You ever see a person daven, and it's just so clear that he believes in what he's doing? I mean, look at the passion. It's real. That's leida. That's leida. Now, does that mean that there's no room at all for doubt? Does that mean, like, for the, what we basically just said is that for the Rambam, it's pretty hardcore. I mean, that, does that mean you can't have any room for doubt? So you should know that having doubt is very human, and this is not a new phenomenon at all. There's a sefer called Emunos Videos, written by Rav Sajagon. And the Hakdama of the sefer Emunos Videos, written by Rav Sajagon himself, is all about doubt. And he writes that the reason he's writing the sefer is because he's met a lot of people who are plagued by doubt. He says they're always vacillating. And their whole lives, they're torn apart, never really reaching a goal. He compares it to a person who's walking down a road and he gets to a fork in the road and he doesn't know what's the right road to get to the town. So he starts down one run of the roads and then he gets nervous that it's really the other road. So he goes back and he goes down the other road. And then he gets nervous it was really the first road. So he goes back and he goes down the first road. And that's how he spends his whole life. He never gets to the city. And a lot of people, a modern day example, you have a person, he reads a scientific paper on archaeology, and all of a sudden, he's got all these kashas on the Torah. He believed in the Torah his whole life. He read one article into a PhD program. He read one article on archaeology, and all of a sudden, it's full of questions. Then 2 weeks later, he gets an article that refutes the first article. Then he goes, oh, wow, so I'm a big mammon again. Wow, that article was wrong. He's back to the Torah again. And then 2 weeks later, he finds a new article, and he reads that, and he goes, oh. You know, for a while, there was a scientific theory. It's not scientific. There was research that showed that in, the 13th century BCE, when Avraham was in Iraq, there were no camels in Iraq yet at that time. Camels are really indigenous to wherever, India. And we have no record of there being any camels in the area of Mesopotamia in the 13th century BC when Avram existed. And then obviously it's a big kash in the Torah because Avram's always, you know, with camels and traveling places. Oh, Torah must not be true. And that article like held sway for however many years it was, 15 years, 20 years, until, and plenty of people died during that time. And people might have read the article and said like, you know, I really wanted to believe it. I mean, even some of you might be sitting here thinking, even though you know I'm going with this, saying like, ooh, that's pretty bad, actually. That's pretty bad. Even though you've already formulated your opinion, not knowing what any of the research was. Like, you don't even know what the methods are. How do you date something to the 13th? First of all, how do you know if a camel was there or not? What's the method for doing that? I'm not saying that there isn't a method. I'm just saying you have no idea what it is. And how do you date something from the 13th century as opposed to the 14th century or the 12th century BC? You don't, so it's written in an article, so you just take it at face value. But let's put that on the side for now. So plenty of people die. They might have read the article and said, like, you know, I'm going up to Shemayim with a couple of kashas because, you know, the whole camel thing. Well, sure enough, like 20 years later, a new article came out that new research that showed that, no, they were actually there since the 14th century BCE. So Avram, there were camels when Avram was there. So that just goes to show, like, the nature of scientific research. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's always in flux and it's changing. And if we're basing our whole faith based on one article that came out about camels, so it could be that people went to their grave and it's chaval because they didn't know that in another 7 years there'd be an article that would disprove everything. And that's why, says Rav Sajagon, you have a lot of people, the reason why they have doubt all the time is because A, they're lacking information or they're lacking the tools of learning. And in addition to that, they're lazy, they're not dedicated to their studies. So doubt ends up creeping in to everybody's faith. And the question is, how can we address the challenges of doubt? Especially in light of the Rambam, who says that you have to have this absolute conviction of the truth of Judaism. So I think there are a couple of things that we need to work with, a couple of assumptions. Number one, we shouldn't be assuming that at the age of 18 or 28 or 38 or 48 that we could figure everything out. That's number one. It's a little bit of humility. A little bit of humility to realize that we can't necessarily figure everything out. There are definitely a possibility that there are many things in the world that are beyond us. There are many things that are going to be hard for us to understand. And science, when I say us, I mean us as individuals and also us as mankind, right? The Kutzker said that sort of part of the definition of God is that he might be beyond our understanding. Like, how God of a God is he if you understand him? It's not so godly if you can understand him. Isn't part of the idea of God that he's beyond our understanding? You know, it's sort of part of what it means to be God. So the idea that we can't figure everything out, I don't call that doubt. It's fair, even with a person who has a full conviction, to be able to identify that there are things that I don't understand. There are just so many things in nature that are so not intuitive. And yet we know them to be true, even though if we didn't know the information, if we didn't know the scientific research, we would never think it to be true. We would think it's crazy. You know, like the idea that the world is round. Why would you ever think the world is round if you didn't know the science behind it? Or that 60% of your body is water. How could 60% of your body be water? It doesn't make sense. Look at my body. 60% of this is water? Doesn't make sense. Or my favorite one is the fact that we are right now spinning thousands of miles an hour. We're spinning thousands of miles an hour right now. Does anybody feel like we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour? It's so counterintuitive. And yet we are. The Earth is spinning in orbit thousands of miles an hour. So the fact that our perception doesn't always give us the full truth, that's not something that we should be surprised at. And I think that what it really comes down to is that there are different types of doubt. And one doubt is very corrosive for religion. And one doubt is very healthy. And I think there's nothing wrong with it. The problematic doubt is the doubt that's paralyzing. If we can't daven because we're not sure it's true, if we can't do mitzvos, that's a doubt that really needs to be addressed. And that's a doubt that, yes, is taking you away from fulfilling Leida. Because Leida means Vashevosa elivavecha, that you're serving God out of an absolute conviction. Right? I'm convinced with 100% certainty that my kids are my kids. And therefore, I do anything for them that I feel is beneficial for them because I'm absolutely committed to them because I know who they are. I know who I am. I know I'm their father. I know they're my kids. And I know it to be a truth that a father should take care of his kids. And therefore, I have no doubts about that. And if I started to have doubts, that would prevent me from being able to do that. So that's a very paralyzing doubt. But if it means that every once in a while, a thought comes into your head that says, like, is it possible that this isn't true? Is it possible that maybe, like, I don't know, the rabbis made all this up? I think that that's a fine thought that comes into the head once in a while. I think that's normal. I think that's with everything that we do. Part of being a human being is that we think. And we analyze. And part of thinking and analyzing means considering things from another perspective. That's what it means to think about something. So to the fact that you think about things from other perspectives, I don't call that doubt in the sense that it's comes at the expense of Leida. You know, a lot of times a person arrives at truth by questioning and analyzing. And I think that the fact that we're questioning means that we're alive. We're not just taking things for granted. It means that we're alive. We're analyzing. Now, it's true. You hopefully will reach a point in your life because you guys are young. You'll reach a point in your life where something like the fact that God exists just becomes so absolutely clear that you don't even start having those thoughts of like, maybe this isn't true. It starts to become about much more smaller things. Like, what's my relationship to Dinei Durabanan? Then you start to, you could have questions about things like that. Like, are these things really God intended? And those are fair things to think about once in a while. And again, faith is also not static. It's not like you gain faith and then it's done. Part of living is that your faith grows with time. So if a person doesn't have questions, that's great. person doesn't have questions. And if a person is absolutely committed, but even a person who's absolutely committed in his behavior and in his head, questions come up once in a while. So that's a doubt that we certainly want to address, and we will address it by studying. But you have to realize at the same time that having doubt about things is very human. If you have doubt with a little bit of humility, so it's not so scary to have doubt. The realization that you can't really figure everything out, that's a very healthy way to look at things. It's very normal. It's very present in everything that we do. And as long as we realize that sometimes doubt can be because we're biased, sometimes a person doubts because he doesn't want something to be true. So he creates doubts. As long as that's not where our doubt is coming from, so then there's a very good chance that our doubts can eventually contribute to us arriving at a greater faith. And ultimately, the goal is that we have that absolute strong faith that says about Moshe Rabbeinu's arms, that Yadav Emuna, his hands were unwavering, right, during the war with Amalek. So his hands were up, and his hands were unwavering. They were strong. They were Emuna. They never dipped. That's certainly the goal. The goal is to be able to reach a place where a person operates with absolute faith.